Well, hello everyone. Yeah, I'm Murray, if you don't know. So I've got the message tonight, and it's on steps to healing. I think we should just start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray, Lord, that you'll just minister to us, Lord, that each of us will get, Lord, what we need to get, Lord, from tonight's message, and that it just be a blessing to us as we come around your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I just wanted to do a message with just practical steps to healing. It's a huge topic, and this is just a small message. So it's something that I'm pretty passionate about myself, healing. Some years ago, I found myself fighting for my life. It wasn't the first time. I wasn't prepared. I found myself double-minded, uncertain on how to pray, what to think and do. I had questions and no time. I was scrambling for answers, and while fear was driving my decisions. So I just hope that, yeah, that we can get something out of tonight's message. We all have different journeys, and we all respond or fight in different ways. Preparation is the key. Don't find yourself on the front line learning how to fight. Start now. Learn about spiritual healing. You won't regret it. Healing is a subject that requires a lot of wisdom. If at the end of today's message, you jump in your car, wind down the windows, throw your glasses out the window, take off, drive into a power pole or another car, thinking that's going to force faith to come, that's not wisdom. God's wisdom brought each of us to salvation in different ways. So healing is a journey, and God will give each of us wisdom as we go on the journey. Okay, so you go to the doctor, they say you've got a disease, a sickness, anxiety, depression. What are you going to do? We have to remember that the doctor isn't God. And all talk aside, most doctors will admit they can't really cure anything. At best, they can assist the body to heal itself. Sometimes you don't even understand them when you're all stressed out and they start talking. I sat down with the doctor and listened while he explained surgery. You cut here and cut there and you won't be the same. And I'm thinking, Frankenstein? You don't hear what they're saying. You'll look better than him, but, you know, not much. Okay, so you receive bad news. What is the first move? Step one, go to the Word. What does the Word say about this situation? This has to be the Christian's first step always. God's Word is the final authority for the Christian. Not the doctor's word. He doesn't have the answer for every problem. You need to find every scripture on the subject. Different scriptures talk to different people. What does the Bible say? You won't know what the Bible says about healing until you look. The word is usually unexpected, what it does say. It doesn't line up normally with reason or the senses. The word speaks about spiritual truths, and the Bible says about itself that it is foolishness to the natural man. And at times that's an understatement. So to know God's will, we look at the word. Faith won't come, faith won't work until you know what God's will is. God's will is not automatic. So what do I mean? An example. It is God's will for everyone to be saved, but it's not automatic. Only those who take salvation will get it. It's not automatic. You need to make a decision. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and that through faith. Believe the word, that's your move, and faith is a response. You have to know God's will from reading the word, and then you have to choose how you're going to respond to God's word. Another example we have is in Luke 5, 12 and 13. There's this guy with leprosy who wanted to know God's will. 5, 12 and 13. And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. What a good time to see Jesus. He fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. So this guy knew that Jesus could heal him. He knew that Jesus had the power, but he didn't know if Jesus would heal him. He would have heard that Jesus healed other people, but was it his will to heal him? This is important. I'd say all of us believe that God can and does heal people and do miracles. But do you believe it is God's will to heal you? What is God's character? Is he a regarder of persons? Does he have favourites? Is he the sort of God who would heal this leper under the old covenant, but not heal his child under the new? Has his mercy been withdrawn, or is it the same? What is God like? Would he heal you? It is wise to settle some of these questions before you get that diagnosis. You may be thinking, what about those Christians that have died, old and young, with sickness, disease, and tragedy? I don't know why, and I think a lot wiser people than me don't know why. It's all speculation. But what we do think, nowadays I choose to just think about the many who have received their healing. It's a better focus. I know that Jesus is a healer, and he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So that's Hebrews 13:8 tells me so. Some people think the sickness comes from God. A lot of fundamental denominations teach this. Okay, so I have a gun, I pull it out, I shoot you. You're not dead, hopefully, but you do need surgery. So the ambulance comes, takes you to hospital, they wheel you into the surgery, the surgeon walks up to you, and it's me, I'm the surgeon. Just relax, I'll take care of you. Can you relax? Can you expect healing from God if God gave it to you? Does the word agree? John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not, but that he may steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." You have to choose carefully who you listen to. I have a good friend who's a Calvinist. Show me his favorite teacher on a YouTube. And it really wasn't helpful at the time when I needed some healing. This teacher explained that Satan is God's attack dog, and God kept him on a long chain and sometimes let the chain out so that Satan could reach the Christians, maul them, so that he could use Satan to keep people humble. So that teaching upset me for two reasons. One is, for a while I thought along those lines. And the other one was, what loving father would have an attack dog in their backyard and use it on their children? That's wrong. So a lot of Christians hold to fundamental teaching of God's sovereignty. That means God controls everything, good or bad. There are scriptures that show that although God is the ultimate sovereign, high king of his creation, everything, that he has allowed for real free will within certain time and places. So one example is in Romans 5:17. I'm using an older translation called the Weymouth translation, just because it uses the word sovereign. And just the first part of the verse shows transfer of sovereignty over the earth. Romans 5:17. "For if through the transgression of the one individual, death made use of the one individual to seize the sovereignty." So it says, For if through the transgression of the one individual, death made use of the one individual to seize the sovereignty. So in the context, it's saying that Adam lost the sovereignty to Satan, death, when he transgressed, sinned. And the second part of the verse talks about how we can reign as kings or be sovereign because of the sin-destroying work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. And as Philippians 3:20 says, explains, our citizenship is in heaven. But our citizenship is in heaven. From it, we wait a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's where our authority comes from, heaven. So again, if you're not sure if every bad thing is God's will or not God's will, this too is something you should settle before you hit the front line. What does the word say? Where does sickness come from? Okay, so back to the bad report from the doctor. You can still have the victory. You can agree with the scriptures on the subject to healing. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who him own self bore our sins on his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live by righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed." So, by whose stripes you were healed, past tense. Before anything was diagnosed by the doctor, by whose stripes you were healed. Regardless of symptoms or non-symptoms, by whose stripes you were healed. There are many healing scriptures and different ones talk to different people at different times. I recommend you look up the different scriptures of healing, like your life depends on it, before your life depends on it. It is a fact that one type of unbelief is caused by the lack of knowledge of the word. You can't know what you don't know. So step one, go to the word. Step two, rest in the finished works of healing. So we got Hebrews 4:1-3. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, for not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So once you've settled the matter, is healing available from God? You should rest in the finished works of healing. So you're not trying to get it. You're not trying to work for it. You're not getting stressed. You're going to rest or trust the word of God. When you believe the word over the bad report, people, Christians and non-Christians, will think you are strange. You're in denial. Could be true. Peculiar. A liar, maybe even a hypocrite and other things. But you'll be at peace. You will have your emotions in check. You know that Jesus heals what the doctor can heal. You know that Jesus heals what the doctor can't heal. You're in faith. You might have plenty of tears, but joy will come in the morning. So step one, go to the word. Step two, rest in the finished work of healing. Step three, labor to stay at rest. So you have to be positive. Laughter is a medicine, serving others. You cannot stay negative if you study the word, because it says, in all these things you are a winner. Take communion, the table of the Lord, like it is medicine, because it is. Stay around positive people. Keep your confession, your testimony positive. No pity parties, no visiting the graveyard and saying, I will be with you all soon. Speak life, not death. Step one, go to the word. Step two, rest in the finished works of healing. Step three, labor to stay at rest. Now, the devil is not going to sit by and watch us be happy. So out come the fiery darts. Step four, I've called the wrestle and catching thoughts. So I just got two scriptures here. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic power over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And the second one is 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So Satan's biggest weapon is the power of suggestion. He uses thoughts, words often spoken by other people, dreams, visions, feelings. Pain also is one of his things. So it's interesting, because the day I decided to do this message and I started on it, that night I just had the most bizarre dream of my back being twisted up, and I woke up and thought, what on earth was that? And then I thought, oh yeah, I know. So, and I guess that was a good thing, as I actually realized that that was where it come from. And so I prayed against it. I didn't get upset, and I recognized his tactics. So it's good to recognize where it's coming from. He pretty much uses everything but the word of God, but even that he can use, and he can just use it out of context. So everything's on the table with the devil. I'll give some examples. I remember when I was fighting for my life, thought would come. So he uses thoughts. He drops them in. You're going to die. Which in the natural was a fair and reasonable thought. He had lots of evidence to support it. I wasn't in great shape. But we are not in the natural. We are in the spiritual. And so we have to respond with a counter thought. So he says, you're going to die. And so you have to respond with something. So I will live and not die and declare the works of God. and then you'll come back. What is going to happen to your stuff when you die? So you have to respond, nothing, because I'm not going to die. And the devil might take a 5-minute break, and then he'll come back with, I doubt you'll see the year out with that diagnosis. And so you got to come back. I will live long life and be satisfied. Now the devil might take a 10-minute break, and then he's back, and he steps it up a bit with some more fiery darts. He'll say, he'll drop something like, oh, remember what the doctor said about how many members of your family have got cancer and diabetes or whatever? And you do get reminded of that every time you go to the doctor. They ask you that. And so you got to respond. Well, you know, they say, what do you have in your family line? And so I'm a first generation from God. So I don't care what they had. And then the devil says, remember the doctor said that cancer kills 8 out of 10 in 6 months of being diagnosed. That's unlucky. And so you can just respond, well, I'm blessed. I'm in the 2 out of 10 that live. And then here comes the devil again. So he might say, what is going to happen to your wife, Melissa, when you die? Well, she'll probably get on with it, sell the 80 series, get an automatic 200 series, hook up the caravan, go around Australia. But that's not going to happen because I'm not going anywhere. God sent his word and healed me. If you're struggling to stop the thoughts with your thoughts, you might have to use words. So I'll show you what I mean. So I want everyone to count to 10 in your mind. So when I say go. So when I say start counting in your mind, I want you just to count to 10, not out loud. Okay, start now. What's your name? Say it out loud. So, all right, that stopped the counting. So sometimes you have to speak out loud to stop what the thought was. You counted too quick. Yeah, so you got to say out loud, I was healed, I were healed, I am healed, I is healed, whatever. Speak it out. People will think you're strange, but that's all right. So the devil will can't keep coming. He'll use pains, feelings, and we must resist the devil. At times, the only evidence of your salvation is the word of God. At times, the only evidence there is of your healing is the word of God. So standing, we stand. All right, so step one, go to the word. Step two, rest in the finished works of healing. Step three, labour to stay at rest. Step four, the wrestle and catching thoughts. So now we're up to step five. Know that God loves you. You need to know God loves you. 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. So this is a very important step. You must dig deep into the word prayerfully and settle this question if you haven't already done so. Does God love you? Are you the disciple that Jesus loved more than these? Can you say Jesus loves me? Am I the apple of his eye? Are you keeping close to God all the time? Or if trouble hits, do you have to search for him? Perfect love drives out fear. All right, we're getting there. So step one, go to the word. Step two, rest in the finished works of healing. Step three, labour to stay at rest. Step four, the wrestle and catching thoughts. Step five, know that God loves you. Step six, the last step, I've just got prayer, praise, worship and thanks. So prayer, Mark 11:24 says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. So therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. So don't panic if nothing visible happens after you pray. Stay in faith for healing. If after you've prayed for healing, you don't thank God, it can show unbelief or ingratitude. Considering that you are healed with or without visible signs, get into praise and worship. It'll lift you, spirit, soul, and body. So we enter his praise with thanksgiving, and that leads to joy and happiness. Just a last recap. Go to the word. Rest in the finished works of healing. Labour to stay at rest. the wrestle and catching thoughts. Know that God loves you. Pray, praise, worship, and thanks. So I hope you've all picked up some tips, and praising and thanking God makes you happy. I just pray, finish. Thank you, Father, this word, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that you'll just bless us, Lord, as we bless you. We thank you, Lord, that you love us and that you are good. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to have another song, though, before we do anything else. Actually, just talking a bit about healing, you know. Next week is 10 years ago. They took me from Atherton to Cairns in a taxi to die. That was a bit of an experience. I won't talk about it because everything Murray said is what you go through. Pretty well right, spot on. So we're going to have a look at Luke chapter 23, verse 34, as we now come, this time of communion, to remember what Jesus did upon the cross. Christ is mine forevermore. To understand just how much God absolutely loves each one of us. Satan will tell you the lie that he doesn't. He will try to put that lie into you. In fact, just thinking back about 10 years ago, I had some wonderful Christian friends who came to the hospital to tell me I was going to die. That's the type of message you need at that time. Listening to who you listen to is very important. That's why we come to remember this each week. It's not just something that we do because we think it's a good idea. We do this because we want to thank God. It's an act of worship to take communion, to remember what God did in Jesus Christ for us. Out of the whole world, he did it for us. You know, the gospel, the message of salvation, the action of Jesus upon the cross was a gift that God gave to the whole world. His predestination was that everyone would accept this gift. But he never made everyone accept it. But we have accepted it. For whatever reason, we picked up this tremendous gift of salvation. And with it comes lots of other things. Incredible other things, you know that? So the world will come like that. Pilate decided that the world's demand should be granted and that they would kill Jesus. This is decision time in life. Do we want that? Or do we want what God has? That is always the decision. It's a powerful moment during the crucifixion, whole setup of Jesus Christ. Jesus prays, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. I just don't know if we understand the tremendous amount of power in words like that. To forgive when it just is impossible to forgive. To forgive when everything goes against it, when you want to hurt. So as we just take in this communion, we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf, taking on the punishment that we deserved so that we could be reconciled to God. As I said this morning, when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just die for our salvation. He died for the reconciliation of the earth and of heaven. Sin came, originated in heaven, and it came to earth. He died to reconcile everything. When we get up there and this is all over, everything will be just as God designed it. Let us just take a moment just now just to reflect on the profound forgiveness and mercy that Jesus demonstrated on the cross, and may it inspire us to extend the same grace to those around us, even in the face of people that have hurt us incredibly. May it inspire us through all that. So as we just take in this communion, let us do so with hearts filled with gratitude for the sacrificial love of our Saviour and with the reward committed to love and to serve others as he did. There are some things that we need to know about God. If we want to know what truth is, we find it in God, the Father. When Jesus was before Pilate, he told Pilate, he said, I have come to reveal the truth, that we might know the truth, and the truth is God. He came to show us the incredible love of God, a love beyond what we will know. So as we take these elements, everyone is welcome to the table. It is your walk before the Lord that matters. We are not a judge of one another. God is our judge. Here's the one who has paid the price for our salvation. Jesus went to the cross and paid the price for your salvation. This biscuit represents the body that was broken for us upon Calvary. The price, it's a representation of everything that was broken, of Jesus Christ coming before every power. We see the physical side. He not only did the physical, he did the spiritual. Because he went to the cross and his body was broken, he took hold. He was powerful over death, and he conquered that death. So let us just take and remember the body broken for us. And as Jesus was on that cross, his blood flowed from that cross to the ground. It is by his blood that the covenant has been sealed. And when we come under the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ, there is nothing, nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God. The love of God is the greatest weapon we have. It can conquer all. There's neither angels, there's neither demons, there's neither height, nor depth, nor east, nor west, nor anything that can separate us from God. We have been sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So, Father, as we take this cup, we want to thank you for the blood of Jesus. Let's take and drink. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings to each of us too. And we know, Lord, we know that we know that you are our Lord and our Saviour, and we thank you for that, Father. We just praise you, Lord, and thank you for being able to be here this night, in this time, and worship you and praise your name, hear from you, Lord, and may we take your word, Lord, to our hearts and meditate on those words, and may it grow in us, Lord, and give us assurances of the promises of Almighty God. So we thank you, Father, for this night being here together, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.